The enforced closeness of college dorm rooms can lead to intense relationships between roommates, especially during the freshman year. Commentator Amanda Maddox remembers the girl she lived with during her first year on campus.
Perhaps I shouldn't be here. Through this thick dark, my roommate's desk lamp breathes yellow-white light over everything. I turn in bed. My eyelids are closed, but hot and lit like neon. I'm completely awake. And so is my roommate Marissa, who rocks in her dormitory desk chair and shakes the room with her cries. Across the cramped room, Marissa sits, balled up and tense. The phone hangs on the stoop of her ear. A long-distance conversation with her mom stretches on, filling this packed space. I give up trying to sleep and lower the comforter from my face to listen as she talks with her mom about the previous cancer scare, a recent doctor's appointment, a new threat of malignancy. Rolling onto my stomach, I pretend to sleep. Marissa places the receiver on its cradle. The phone call is over, but she remains in the chair, hugging her kneecaps tight. Her tears explode in the night like fireburst. They're so loud I can't ignore them. Should I say something? Attempt to console her? In our first semester, Marissa and I shared more than close freshman year quarters. Sometimes we stayed up late, talking long after the boys downstairs had shut off their techno music. We kept my mini-fridge stocked with sliced turkey and ate sandwiches for dinner in our room. We sat side by side in lectures. I was the only person she ever introduced to her deadbeat dad. But after winter vacation, our closeness became claustrophobia. Her competition with me for better grades, cooler friends, a greater collection of MP3s suffocated like saran wrap. So I distanced myself. I slept elsewhere or left the room before she woke. I even stopped speaking to her. One whole month, long and tense, passed in immense silence. It was a strange second semester crescendo. Somehow we'd become two English majors who lost the power to communicate. Until this muted March night, after Marissa returns to her bed, I hear her legs rubbing against the flannel sheets. And then I hear another kind of rubbing. A silver scratching, some heavenly metallic hymn. It's faint, but certain, like a sweet carillon ringing from far away. I look toward her bed, so close it almost touches mine. Marissa smothers face and prayers and cries into her Laura Ashley pillowcase. Strangled below these, within her hand, is her grandma's onyx rosary, black beads and silver cross scraping over the quiet, like a subtle whisper that gently settles in your ear. Suddenly, exalted in the 11th-hour invocation, a born-again Catholic and her bedridden chorus have ascended. I move again now. My roommate's closeness oppresses me like a humid heat. Her breaths and sobs interlace in a duet. I feel compelled to comfort her, and yet all I can think to extend is my voice. I realize that the only means of relief and release is for me to speak. So I raise myself on one elbow, look across to her bed, and say, "I'm sorry about your mom." An apology and a penance rubbed into one phrase. But she rolls over, as if nothing was said. No matter, I guess. In a couple months, freshman year will end, and our talking, or not talking, will cease. Tonight, I understand there's nothing more to say.
Commentator Amanda Maddox graduated from Brown University. She lives in Oregon.